Thank you, Brother Roy. We appreciate that good singing. Appreciate that good song, good choir singing this morning also. Glad to see you in the house of the Lord this morning on Resurrection Sunday. Very, very important, very significant holiday in the Christian faith. We're going to read this morning out of Matthew chapter number 28. We're going to talk about because Jesus lives. This morning, I want to recognize somebody this morning that we've been missing at church, and we sure are glad to see her. We've got Miss Tammy Emery back with us in church this morning. I'd like for y'all to pray for Miss Tammy. She's had trouble with her eyes for a long time, and right now she's completely lost her sight in her right eye. But we're praying that God would work and touch in her life. You know, her and Brother John are a blessing to this church, and we're really glad to be able to see y'all with us this morning. Amen. Good to see you here, Miss Tammy. Now, here's something I want to mention, I want to celebrate. This is the biggest crowd we've had since COVID began, okay? Isn't that a blessing? Amen. Prior to COVID, we were getting to the point that we were having to open these doors fairly regularly, and we were getting ready to build. And obviously things happen. But you know what people said? They said, oh, we'll never get back to where we were. We'll never get to the point that we're not wearing masks. Hello. Good to see you in the house of God this morning. Amen. God is moving. God is still powerful. He's still an all-knowing, all-seeing God. And he still has the ability to do the things that are beyond our ability to even sometimes understand. We believe that God has a plan for Hiram First Baptist Church, and we believe that God has a plan for you in your life. We're going to talk this morning about because Jesus lives. And I want you to think, as I try to stand for just a few minutes this morning, about this question. What is the value of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? You know, we celebrate Christmas, and that holiday is the reason we have it, is not so we can shop. Now, I know you all enjoy doing that. But we have Christmas to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We do not have a crucifixion day. That would be hard to celebrate, wouldn't it? Celebrate the death and the suffering and what Jesus Christ went through on the cross. When they nailed him to a cross, placed a crown of thorns upon him after he had been beaten unmercifully to the point that if it were not for the hand of God and the will of God, he would have succumbed to death. Prior to even making it to the cross. But what would the cross mean if when they took the body of Jesus Christ down and they placed him in the tomb, if he had just stayed there? You know, if that had happened, then we could have put his name on the list of all of the gods of the world. You see, because there is no risen Buddha. There is no risen Muhammad. There is no risen Confucius, and the list can go on and go on because people around the world worship a lot of different things. But there's only one God, and the Bible makes that very clear. There's only one name given among men whereby we must be saved, and that's through the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in another place there's one God and one mediator between God and men. And then it says the man, Christ Jesus. You see, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is of great value because he lives, we can live. Now, I want to read the 28th chapter, which is the chapter of the resurrection of Christ in the book of Matthew. As we read these words, listen to these words. If you want to read along with us, please do that. It says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Sunday morning, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment was white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not. For I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by his feet and worshipped him. And then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. You see, here's what's written is that they came that morning, and you know what they were doing? They were grieving. They were grieving because the loss of their Lord, but he told them he was going to get up. He told them he was going to rise. In the 11th verse, it says, Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you or protect you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Now, just a thought here before we read just a few more verses. You know, the Pharisees and elders and the chief priests, they didn't want to believe in Christ. And they didn't believe what they were told. Now, it's undisputable that the body was not there. And they so wanted to disprove his resurrection or do something to dissuade the people or cause the people not to believe that they persuaded Roman soldiers to lie. Now, here's what you need to understand, that if a Roman soldier had fallen asleep on guard duty, it was punishable by death. But they said, if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. You know, it's common. You see this same kind of stuff going on today. Who's going to accept Jesus? It says, Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them, and they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And he says, Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. You know, if we read this scripture, we see that they came looking to the place where Jesus lay, and he was not there. And there were some who, when they heard, they persuaded Roman soldiers. There are people today who try to dispute the resurrection of Christ, but the truth is, no one has ever been able to dispute the resurrection of Christ. There's no doubt, and if you want to study history, Jesus Christ existed. To some, he was just a man. He was just a prophet. There is a common religion today, and we mention it, it's Islam, where they put Muhammad above Jesus Christ, and they call Jesus a prophet. Oh, they say he existed, but they don't accept Jesus Christ as Lord. But there's a difference. Jesus rose. Muhammad didn't. There was a great intellectual, and we have these today. He set out to disprove the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, and he devoted much of his life to it. Probably even had a grant. And when he began to explore the different facets of the relationship that Jesus Christ had with the people and the relationship that he had with the disciples and those that were there, he said, the more I studied, the more I realized that the resurrection of Jesus Christ was like an island that was surrounded by coral reefs. that you just couldn't get to it. Because with every theory that I came up with, when I begin to look at the stories and I look at the Roman soldiers and I studied about the possibility of them lying, when I looked at the lives of the 11 disciples and how that every one of them gave their lives because of what they saw. You see, if you study the Word of God, you find that Jesus Christ revealed Himself 9 times. And this man, who was one of these, basically an Ivy League graduate, ended up writing a book about the resurrection of Christ. He thought that he would write a book disputing the resurrection of Christ, but what he began to write was a book that supported the resurrection of Christ. You see, in his study to dispute the bodily resurrection of Christ, he himself became a Christian because he realized that the tangible evidence was unquestionable. And he wrote a book entitled, Who Moved the Stone? You see, when we look at these disciples, can you imagine what it would be like for all of them to get together and to connive together that they're going to deceive the whole world into believing that Jesus rose again? Do you know that during the Watergate scandal, not 2 supporters could stay together? Everybody began running, giving depositions to support themselves and to save themselves. Paul Little said that men will die for what they believe to be true, though it may actually be false. They do not, however, die for what they know is a lie. Jesus Christ said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father except by me. You see, because Jesus lives, He has separated Himself from every other god and every other religion in the world. Now, I want to give you just a few points this morning about why it's important and what the great value of the resurrection is because Jesus lives. And here's one that I want you to consider. Because Jesus lives, life has meaning. How many times do we hear people say, what is the purpose of life? Why are we here? What's the purpose? What's the meaning? Many intellectuals have tried to answer the question, but they trouble. They speculate. They struggle. They don't know. They don't have the answer. But they simply say they just cannot believe in the Bible and in Jesus Christ. They say, do you really believe someone can rise from the dead? Well, here's another question. Do you really believe that a child could be born of a virgin? Do you really believe that a person could live 33 plus years on this earth without sin? Do you really believe that one man can go to the cross and take upon himself all the sin of the whole world? You see, the question really is, do you believe? You see, as Christians, because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, truly there is credibility given to the Word of God. And because Jesus lives, we can trust the answers that the Word of God gives us about the most pressing questions of life. So what is the purpose of life? Where did I come from? You ever think about it? Do you ever spend time, or are you willing to give it time, to say, where did I come from? Did we come from nothing that turned into something? Or are we here on this earth because there is a God that created everything and He created man in His image? And if I question where did I come from, then the next question is, why am I here? What's the purpose of my life? Am I just here to try to accomplish all that I can, to get all that I can? But I'll give you this question. If there's no God, and if He doesn't exist, and He did not create man, then what is the purpose of your life? The truth is, your life has no purpose without God. Because if there's no God, and there's no heaven, and nothing you do today lasts forever, then what difference does it make what you do? So why am I here? The reason we're here on this earth is to glorify God. And our purpose in eternity is to enjoy Him forever. We're here to make history, which broken down is his story. The next question that's so important that we need to understand, and we're going to spend a little more time on this, is where am I going? The truth is, and I begin to think about it this week, I was actually punching the calculator beside my computer at work. You know, the Bible says that the years of man will be 70. I took my life and I punched it in. I know the math, but I wanted to see it on the screen. With the number of years that I have lived, that's not good English, is it? The number of years that I have lived and the number that I have left, it's very small. Some of you, if you take 70, well, you're living on the credit. So the question really, where am I going? Well, I don't need to think about that. I'm just 20. I'm just 25. I remember when I was 25 yesterday. It was yesterday. The next question, and this is something that's so disputed today, I listen to the news and I've had to learn how to tolerate it because I need to know some things that are going on. But the question is there truth and can I know it? There's a lot of people that don't believe there is such a thing as absolute truth. They push it aside. They say, what's true to you is true. Well, then anything can be true or nothing is true. And I think for a person that doesn't have absolute truth, the latter is the answer because there is really nothing that is true to you. But if there is a God and His name is Jesus Christ and He rose from the dead, He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Then there is such a thing as absolute truth, and His name is Jesus. You see, because Jesus lives, we can know where we came from, we can know why we're here, and we can understand that it is God who has created us. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, the Scripture says this, for by Him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, that are visible or invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. You see, because Jesus lives, we know that life has a purpose, and we believe that our lives were intended to honor Him and believe that we exist as the children of God and that our lives should bring Him glory. And therefore, we believe that what we do today matters for eternity. You see, without God, without a Creator, there is no purpose and it doesn't matter. Have you ever heard the saying, don't be surprised when your children act like animals if all you've done is taught them that that's what they are? If you teach them that they are from God and that their lives on earth are here to glorify God, then you should expect them to be able to shine as the children of God. Because that's what you are. You see, the reason I believe we're on this earth is because God wanted children. God wanted you. God cares about you. Amen. Sometimes the truth is, our children don't always act the way we want them to. And sometimes we can love them and they'll still push us aside. But here's what I want you to understand about God. As long as there's breath in your lungs, God still is going to be loving you. And He's going to be reaching out to you and He's going to be trying to encourage you and create a relationship with you because that is what God wants from you. Sometimes people say, well, I don't want God meddling in my life. All God wants to do is help you live the best life that you can live. And the closer that you get to Him, the better that life will be. You see, because Jesus lives, here's what I want us to understand. Because Jesus lives, victory in life is possible. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 14, it says, seeing then, and it's obviously because they've talked about Christ, that we have a great high priest, that's Jesus, that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but us in all points tempted like as we are, and yet without sin. Therefore, let us come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And here's why it's important that Jesus lives. You see, Jesus today is on the right hand of the Father. He's making intercession for you and me about everything that we deal with in our lives. And because Jesus lives, we can have mercy. Because Jesus lives, we can have grace. Because Jesus lives, we can overcome and have victory over the things in our life that push us down. Folks, that's important to me. You can have victory. You can live life with contentment. You can deal with and accept the grace of God to deal with the heartaches and the troubles of life. You can overcome your chains, your addictions, and your scars. And you can laugh again. Folks, that's important. You see, because Jesus lives, you can have hope. Have you ever thought about where someone goes that they don't have God? Where do they get their hope? You know, we can live this life and we can engulf in the things of the world and in this life, and we can fill ourselves with more and more and more of it until we get to the point that we realize the things of this life, they fail. People fail. And our bodies fail. When you're at the lowest point of your life, where do you get your hope? You see, because Jesus lives, and He's not on the cross, and He's not in the tomb, we can have hope. You see, some people can say this, because Jesus lives, I'm not lost, but I'm a born-again child of God. Or maybe because Jesus lives, I have the peace of God over my soul. Isn't that important? What difference does it make what you have or what you're able to accomplish in this world if you do not have peace with God? But because Jesus lives, I can have peace with God. Because Jesus lives, I've obtained victory over the demons in my life. There's no doubt this morning that there are people here that are struggling with something. The greatest help you're going to find is finding it through a relationship with God, knowing that He is able to overcome, and because He is able and He did overcome, He can help you overcome. Because Jesus lives, I no longer live in despair and dread. And here's one, you fill in the blank. Because Jesus lives. You see, I have a personal relationship with God. And if you're here this morning and you're saved, you have a personal relationship with God. It's because He lives. Now, I want to give you the last, but what I think is the most important question. The first question that was asked and has been attempted to be answered by many is, what is the purpose of life? But the second, and maybe of greater significance in the mind and the hearts of men, because we're all going to die, every person, except Jesus. But He died, but He rose. The question is there life after death? In the book of Job, chapter 14, verse 14, Job himself asked, this is believed to be the oldest book in the Bible. He said, if a man die, shall he live again? It's a question. Now, if you know the content of that scripture, he goes on to answer the question, and he said, though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see the Lord. Paul, who wrote the majority of the New Testament, he understood the importance of the question, and he gave us some words, and I want to read just a few of them in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He begins to talk about, and I want to start in the third verse, as he's addressing the Corinthians, he said, I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Now, folks, it's written in the Old Testament. It's written by the prophets, all the things that would happen in the life of Christ. And as Paul expounds it here, and this is the first verses other than John 3:16 that we actually teach the children in Awana. We teach them that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. But we teach them these verses 3 and 4 in short fragments, how that we believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And then Paul goes on and he begins to tell you in a couple of verses how many people see Him. He said He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and after that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, He was seen of James, then of the apostles. And then Paul tells his personal relationship with God about how Paul was on the road to Damascus and Jesus Christ Himself spoke to him. And he says, and last of all, He was seen of me also as one born out of due time. You see, Paul tells, and here's what I want us to understand. The manger is significant. The virgin birth of Jesus Christ, I believe, is a prerequisite that you must believe. You say, I can't believe it. Well, how can you believe that God created man from nothing? That He took a handful of dirt and He made a man and He breathed life into him? Or what do you believe? What about the ministry of Christ? A man who, if we look at it, he never had a conquering army and he never took over any cities and he never tore down any walls other than the walls in people's lives. But the ministry of Christ had more impact on this world than any other person, any other leader in history. What about the cross? He went to the cross for me and for you. Like Brother Roy said, put your name right there. You know, the manger, the ministry, and the cross of Christ would have little significance today if we did not have the empty tomb. You see, because it's important that because Jesus lives, we can live. Because Jesus lives, we can live in eternity with God. And I like this next one. Because Jesus lives, we can see our loved ones who have gone to heaven. As I sat over here this morning and I looked around the church and I thought about the time since I've been here and I thought about the people that we love, the very important, some of the founding members of this church, workers in this church, loved ones, family members, mothers, dads, children that are not with us today. I look around and I'm so glad to have my family with me. I'm glad to have your family with me. Glad to have all you young people here. Glad to have you visitors that come to spend time with your families. But have you ever thought about what they're doing up in heaven? I begin to think about it for just a few minutes, about maybe just in my mind, I begin to think about just our loved ones that have left Hiram First Baptist Church, gathering together just for a few minutes. Now, they're not thinking about us because they'd be worried. They look down here and see this because what's going to happen in heaven is the Bible says He's going to wipe away all tears from our eyes. There'll be no more crying, no more pain. Amen. They're looking for you and they're waiting for you, but they've got one long, beautiful day. The weather is perfect. God's provided everything that they need. They're rejoicing in the presence of God. And 70 is nothing compared to eternity. You see, because Jesus lives, we can see our loved ones again. Because Jesus lives, we can have hope. Because Jesus lives, we can have eternal life. Because Jesus lives, we can go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. When? When God says it's the right time. Sometimes God calls us earlier. Sometimes God calls us later, but God calls us at His time. And when it's God's time and He calls my name, I'm going to heaven. And I'll still be in a congregation of believers because we've already seen that many go. You know what's important this morning, and they're getting ready with a song, is you must know Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. You don't do that by trying to be like me or like Brother Allen or like Brother Tommy or like the people that you know that you love, and you look at them and sometimes you say, well, I just can't be like them. Well, I got news for you, and it's good news. God doesn't want you to. What God wants to do is take you like you are and help you be the absolute best that you can be, because He loves you. But you got to want that. You see, the purpose of life is found in Jesus Christ. The forgiveness of sins is found in Jesus Christ. The hope of eternity is found in Christ. But you got to want it. We tell the story, and I saw a church sign. I love to read church signs, by the way. And the church sign simply says this. It says, "We love to tell the story." And at Hiram First Baptist Church, we do love to tell the story. Yesterday in this room, Miss Darla, and folks, we got some workers, and we're blessed at this church. Miss Darla set this entire sanctuary up, took all the chairs out. She had six tables in here, if I remember correctly. And it was an escape room, and at every table, you had to answer some questions and do some things to get a little cross. And she came to me and asked, could she do it? And she just smiled and she glowed. You know why? Because she loves to tell the story. Now, as we would stand to our feet, I got a question for you. Have you been involved in the story? Have you met Jesus Christ as your Savior? Does Resurrection Sunday mean something to you because you have a personal relationship with God? If it doesn't, I just want to ask you, because we always at Hiram First Baptist Church believe in giving an open invitation. We just believe in the altar. Amen. We believe in prayer. We believe that God still hears prayer. And here's something to put on CNN. We believe He answers prayer.
Amen.
But if you're here this morning and God spoke to you and you'd like to pray, you'd like to meet Him as your Savior, you could come. If you're here and you got anything you want to pray about, you can come. If you just want to come thank God for His blessings, if you want to thank God that Resurrection Sunday is still being celebrated in the United States of America, you can do that. If you would, go ahead.